Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is back.
Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready.
Welcome again to Esprit.net News. I just want to say, welcome to everyone who's on the line, everyone who tunes in every week. I have not opened up the chat room yet, but I am going to open up the chat room. If this is your first time listening, this is a week worth of news in just one setting. You can always check out any of our old shows at espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com. In the words of Lucy Abreu, there's always news that you can use. So if you want to go back and check it out, hey, it's already there. Now, on this program, newly crowned Miss USA, don't want to get mixed up, is slammed for calling herself an equalist instead of a feminist. We have that. President Barack Obama, that's right, I didn't say former. President Barack Obama has made a point not to publicly attack or criticize Donald Trump, but he did say some stuff in private. We're going to talk about that. And Lawrence O'Donnell from MSN has confirmed that he may be losing his 10 p.m. slot to Lion Brian Williams. If you guys don't know who that is, we'll talk about him. And Forbes released their list of the 60 wealthiest women in the country. The U.S. Census Bureau data shows that 17% of newlyweds in the United States have a spouse of a different race or ethnicity. And according to a new study, our personalities don't change when we have a drink or two. So those people who drink and say they're different people, studies don't tell us that. We have that this week in court and much more. So I want to welcome you on again to Esprit.net News. You can call in and join us at area code 909-265-9189. You can join in on a program. I just want to say hey to everyone that's on the line. And, hit one if you want to come in while we're doing, the show. I'm sure there's always something else to talk about that I'm not going to talk about on the show unless you join in. Now, our first story, U.S. forecasters are predicting another warmer than normal summer for most of the country, along with wetter weather in a bunch of states from Texas to Montana. Now, the National Weather Service Summer's Outlook, they issued it today, predicting that there was a greater chance of hot weather in Alaska and pretty much everywhere else, especially in the edges, the East Coast down to the Southern Coast. And the exceptions are Montana, Wyoming, the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, parts of Missouri, and Colorado. But if you don't remember the story from last show, meteorologists said that last month was the second warmest April on record globally. They've been keeping records since 1880, and it was the second hottest. Now, this week, the Dow Jones closed 360 points down a few days ago. Wall Street took its biggest one-day tumble since September, and stocks fell sharply in the late afternoons of trading on Wednesday as investors appeared to be losing faith in the Trump administration. I don't know how they determine why investors are going crazy, but apparently after all of that other stuff came out in the news, stocks went down. There is also a Wall Street study that showed that women invest money better and more responsible than men. I'm not going to do any more of that story, but hey, chalk up another one that women do more better than men. We already know, so I don't think I have to go and admit that anymore. I don't want to get kicked out of the club. Unemployment claims fell last week to a 3-month low, yet more evidence of a strong job market. That's according to the Labor Department. Ford, as we say, the unemployment rate climbing claims fell last week. Ford this week said they will cut up to 20,000 jobs, or 10% of their global workforce, as sales fall. Now, the U.S. auto giant is poised to cut what they said was thousands of jobs worldwide, and reductions are expected to total around 10% of their global workforce. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. No details on how much would be in the U.S. opposed to in other parts of the world. The Forbes list that is compromised of the 60 wealthiest women in the country, who started out with next to nothing and rose to build fortunes, whose combined net worth totaled more than $61.5 billion. Now, again, this is a list of people who had next to nothing, I guess is how they're what they're saying about this wealth, this list. They're saying the wealthiest self-made women in the U.S. You know, the first one is the founder of Little Caesars Pizza Chain. She founded it with her late husband, who recently passed. She has a net worth, I guess, is at $5.1 billion. Who knew Little Caesars had that much money? She took over the top spot from last year's reigning businesswoman, Diana Hendricks, who was the co-founder and chairwoman of ABC Supply, one of the biggest wholesale distributors of roofing, siding, and windows. Her net worth is estimated around $4.9 billion. Now, tied for third place is Judy Love, who is the co-founder of Love's gas station chain, and I don't know where that is, but she's tied with Oprah Winfrey. You know her from O Magazine, if you don't know who she is. Yeah, look her up. Now, Winfrey and Love each have a net value of $2.9 billion. You know who is on this list that was surprising me? Sheila Johnson, 68, BET. She was 24. She has $750 million. And Beyonce, I guess, she was on the list for each of the 3 years that it has been compiled. They're saying that her wealth is somewhere around $250 million, but it's actually more closer to $450 million. But that made her 46 on a list at 200 and something million. But there are some disparaging numbers from the other Forbes list that put her higher. So who knows how the stock market goes. But there you have it. Now, a white Oklahoma police officer who fatally shot an unarmed black man last year was found not guilty of first-degree manslaughter. If you don't know her, she's the Tulsa, Oklahoma officer, Killer Betty Jo Shelby is her name. They said that she was not guilty in the September 16th shooting of 40-year-old Terrence Crutcher. So there we go. Took them only 9 hours to deliberate, and they actually let her off with that. Okay. You know, I don't have any other words. Matter of fact, let me go to the lines. Let me bring in the Commiss Kathleen on this one, because I was going to skim past that story, but I guess I shouldn't. Kathleen, how are you?
Yeah. Hi. I'm okay.
Hey.
That little energy happening, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the way of the world right now.
Yeah, you know, I watched too many, I guess, videos of people getting tasered and choked out. And, you know, but it's not that I'm tired of seeing it, so I'll never say that. What I'm saying is something has to change. That's all I have to say about that. Something has to change, because everybody shouldn't sit around and take this. I saw, I'm not doing this news story, but there was a few stories about the ownership in the black community, gun ownership going up, people having handgun training and going to shooting range in the black community is going up. It's almost the opposite of what happened when President Obama got elected and all the white folks just started buying up all the guns and ammo. Black folks are now, like, you know, making sure that they can protect themselves. So, okay, that's all I got about that. I didn't know if you had something that you wanted.
You know, when you said something's got to change, and it's so funny. Well, not funny, actually, but it's so telling. This is a really intense time in the universe, if you will. For spiritual folks, this is a really a highly prophetic time and really powerfully spiritual time right now. And it just reminded me of that when you said that, because this morning I was thinking about it when I heard that report, and I was saying to myself, this, we can't be surprised again. We just can't be surprised. What we've got to do is find an alternative, not an alternative fact, but an alternative. Something has got to change, and I think that we may be that something, come up with a different, a different desire or a different approach, because so long as we are not the majority on the jury, this particular thing is not going to change. So what can we present that will offer the families, the community, our children something different and keep them safer? So I think we're gonna have to look in a different place and change something, because the police department, until we find a way around this, is not going to change, because the approach we've taken, the door we've been trying to go through, is still closed. So I agree with you. Something has to change, and I am thinking over here about how, what can I do to contribute to that change. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, now see, and my thought is, it's not that it's going to radically change, right? We can't change them. So it's not, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we need to convince anybody to have a meeting, none of that. We have to change how we live in this life, opposed to having a concept of we need to be fair and you know, leave it up to God kind of stuff. We can't really do that, right? We already have our spirituality and our ethics and stuff intact for the most part. So we can't say that out loud anymore. We need to just start being able to say, you know what, we may have to opt out of our belief of fairness, because nothing's going to change if we keep going along with the whole, you know, concept of we just got to keep dialogue going. That hasn't worked. Like, that is old and it has not worked. We have to do something different. So anyway, before I go into that, because that's what we normally save till the end of the show, but I'm not going to go into that. Since there's so much more news, it will bring me down. So on that note, Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC, he has confirmed on Twitter on Wednesday morning that he might be losing his 10 p.m. slot to Lion Brian Williams. Everybody knows NBC's Brian Williams, who lied about being under fire and he got fired. And then the guy who's running NBC now, he likes Brian Williams. He thinks Lawrence O'Donnell is too liberal or something for him. Rachel Maddow has the highest rated show, and then Lawrence O'Donnell has the second highest rated show, and this is across the board in cable and news. And they have not talked about renewing his contract yet, and his contract expires on June 4th. Lawrence O'Donnell tweeted, "I'll let you know where you can watch me on June 5th if it's not MSNBC." And he said, "I'm sorry the situation has become public," but he's been hosting The Last Word for 7 years, and MSNBC has a good reason to keep him there. Like I said, his show is very highly rated, especially in recent weeks, it surpassed all of its rivals. And according to Nielsen figures, it is the cable network's second highest rated program, only falling behind Rachel Maddow. However, the guy named is Andy Lack, who's the chairman of NBC. He is reportedly not a fan, and some believe that he doesn't approve of the last word's liberal rhetoric. But other people obviously are saying that he's trying to give that spot to get Lion Brian Williams. And last year, I think it was, O'Donnell originally rejected Lack's request to move his program from 10 p.m. to 6 p.m. because he had it in his contract to be on primetime, so he wouldn't move his show. So we think, you know, some people are thinking that this is punishment. But I say that to say with our last story about changing stuff, you know, Keith Olbermann should be on TV. It tells you how conservative the news is when you talk about ABC, CBS, whomever. All of those guys are keeping Keith Olbermann off, and now they want Lawrence O'Donnell off out of there. Now, he's pretty much the only one who I listen to on the news. I mean, everybody else kind of sometimes are entertaining, and I listen to news generally. But as far as somebody who's worked in the Senate and has working relationships to give you some perspective, Lawrence O'Donnell is the best person to do that on television, and now he's probably going to be gone.
Well, I actually am right now, as we speak, watching MSNBC, and it is Brian Williams hosting that
Brian
show.
Brian.
And I turned it on at 10. So I was like, where's Lawrence O'Donnell at? What is this? And so now here you tell me. It looked like it started to happen already.
No, he was on today. He was on.
He was? What time?
Yes.
At 10?
10
oh,
to 11,
okay.
Yes. Lion Brian Williams has the 11th hour is the name of the show. So it comes on 11 o'clock. And they also hired, not only Greta Van Susteren, hired the other woman from Fox, Megyn Kelly, and now they hired the woman from the Bush administration, the crazy woman who was on The View. I can't think of her name. She now has a show on MSNBC. So technically, they are making it, first of all, MSNBC really white since they got rid of what's the woman's name from Tulane? I can't remember her name.
No,
I like her.
Harris Perry.
Melissa Harris Perry. And, move Reverend Al's show and whatever, got rid of Ed Schultz, and they're making that network conservative. So when we say something different has to change, this country always reverts back to its whiteness. So even the liberal stuff, if you're not noticing all the, you know, young white females on, that's their diversity when it comes down to it. But they're making it conservative. So watch how you watch in the news. That's why we do news, by the way. There you have it. All right, now on that note, President Obama described his own decision not to bomb Syria following chemical weapon attacks as an issue that required the most political courage during his tenure. He said, but I actually think that the issue that requires the most political courage was the decision not to bomb Syria after the chemical weapons were used and had been publicized, and rather to negotiate to have them removed, removing chemical weapons from Syria. The former president said, after initially discussing his decision to boost and lower U.S. troops in Afghanistan, we all know that some of the chemical weapons remained, is what he said, but 99% of the huge chemical stockpiles were removed without us firing one shot. So he just said the reason it was hard was because, as president, what you discover is that you generally get praised for taking military actions, but you're often criticized for not doing so. Now, that is wisdom. I'm sure they're not going to show that to that guy who's there now. But you need to recognize he got 99% of their chemical weapons without firing a shot.
Wow.
And people criticize him for 1%, right? Now, former President Obama made a point of not publicly attacking and criticizing Donald Trump since the election back in November, but behind closed doors, he apparently had no problem sharing his thoughts about the new guy. In an interview with People magazine, two of President Obama's friends revealed that he once said that Trump, he's nothing but a BS-er. See, I don't even say that word. And that comment came shortly after Trump called the President Obama following his win in November and voiced his respect for the man, is what Trump did. And this despite the fact that he had spent years stirring up controversy about his birth certificate and attacking him while he was in office. So that was a good call by President Obama. See, he was smart. He's like, this guy is nothing but a BS-er. Now, if I didn't know they did this in the UK, but this is what the news story was. Bookies or odds makers in the UK are now predicting a 55% chance that Trump will leave the White House early. Now, they said it barely a day goes by without. They have British bookies spokes. They had a spokeswoman for the betting part. I guess it's like going to Vegas, right? And whoever does the aggregated board stuff, they actually had a spokesperson come out. And for the odds makers in the UK, you know, we should do like the neighborhood number again. You know, just doing odds on when this dude gonna get impeached. It was like underground, like doing the horses. But yeah, that's what the news story was. And they actually interviewed them. And they had a spokeswoman. I'm like, when has this come above ground? I must have missed it.
I know. I thought of that this morning too, because if you remember, I made a prediction about him, and it seems to be coming absolutely
true. Said,
wait
a minute, didn't you say how long did you say? 6 months or a year?
I said 6 months. I said within six months, everything is going to hit the fan, and by a year, they're going to start impeachment.
See, I said 3 months, so that was 90 days, but it didn't happen till about day 100, and I think it was 113. So I was 13 days off. I was pretty doggone close when this was going to start. I just didn't know when he's going to leave, but I just knew
he
wouldn't be there.
He said he was going to make it through the first term, though.
No. I said I'd give him 3 months. 3 months before he blow it. It's unheard of, but you can cause a constitutional crisis in 3 months, which apparently we watched that happen. They just were slow. They're still slow on pushing him, but if that was Democratic controlled, he would have got it in February. He came in January, he would have got out in February. He would have already been brought up on charges. But where he made his mistake was firing an FBI director. That's what that was. You know, according to a report by Reuters, both current and former U.S. officials that claimed during the last 7 months of 2016's presidential election, the Trump campaign team was in contact with Russian officials as well as people at the Kremlin in a series of at least 18 calls and emails. Now, the calls and emails, which have been previously not disclosed, mind you, make up part of the record that is being assembled as part of the investigation being run by the FBI, as well as the congressional investigations into the ties between Russia and the Trump administration and campaign. Again, this just came out, 18 more. So you're supposed to disclose them. They didn't, and they have 18 on the record. Okay, they're tapping the phone. How dumb are they? We know that sitting here. That your phone calls are getting recorded. They didn't know that from... Never mind. All right. Republican Jason Chaffetz announced last week that he would resign from Congress next month, saying a midlife crisis compelled him to step away from his chairmanship of the House Oversight Committee, and you know, as they're poised to lead this investigation. I think he don't want to get caught up in this. You know, Chavis wanted to bring charges against Obama and Hillary and the whole Benghazi stuff with the guy, Jason Chavis, and out of Utah. And he abruptly announced that he's just going to leave Congress. Like, he's not going to wait for the next election. He wants to leave next month. I think he wants it to blow up so he can say he ain't had nothing to do with it. Else, he got caught on a wiretap and he sees this thing coming down the pike. Either way, he might be gone. All right. Now, if you didn't see, Dave Chappelle hosting Saturday Night Live, I guess that was in, what was that, September? I think, no, November, November 12th show. Dave Chappelle admitted that it was a mistake to tell Saturday Night Live's viewers to give Trump a chance when he hosted the show after Trump got elected. He said, I was the first guy on TV to say give Trump a chance. He said, I effed up, sorry. This is what Dave Chappelle said yesterday. He said, I'm going to wish, if you didn't see it, I'm going to wish Donald Trump luck, and I'm going to give him a chance, and we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that he gives us a chance too. That's what he said in his monologue on the April 12th show. But he said, nope, his bad. He shouldn't have said that. Now, Kathleen, I don't know if you saw this, the new Miss America, Miss USA. I keep getting her name wrong. I mean, her title.
No, I didn't see it.
Okay, yeah. So the newly crowned Miss USA is slammed for calling herself an equalist instead of a feminist and saying that healthcare is a privilege. So she was the second in a row Miss District of Columbia. She's a scientist, Kara McAuliffe, and she's 25, was asked about both topics, a part of her, you know, a part of the pageant in Las Vegas. She said, you know, social media is killing her about her comments, because obviously she has a conservative taste, apparently. So viewers first seemed to rejoice when Miss District of Columbia, who is, she's a scientist, works at the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. She became a part of the contest, bringing more visibility to women of STEM. So the contestants were asked, what do you consider feminist to be, and do you consider yourself a feminist? She said, so as a woman scientist in government, I like to transpose the world, the word feminist, feminism into equalism. She said, I try not to consider myself this diehard. I don't really care, like I don't really care about men. And she elaborated and said that women are just as equal as men when it comes to opportunity in the workplace, and sharing her own experiences, witnessed firsthand the impact that women can have on leadership. Believing that women are equal to men, of course, is the definition of feminism. So she didn't, I don't think she really knew what feminism was, but she kind of stumbled over. I kind of forgive her for this. I know most people are trashing her for this. I think she just kind of got, you know, mixed up. So in her interview for Good Morning America, she said that she would not change anything she said, but she would like to have more time to clarify her answer, which means she's about to change it. She said on Tuesday that she believed that health care should be a universal right, and meant to say that she felt privileged to have coverage, not that coverage was a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't that sound like, yeah, didn't that sound mm-hmm. like she changed something? She said she wouldn't like
it. It sounded like she called up Carrie Campbell. Carrie Campbell.
Carrie Campbell. Carrie Champion. Well, looks like she had Ayanna fix her life in about 48 hours. Like she called somebody.
She
was like, somebody needs to work with
her. That's what she did.
She called
the fix. Yes,
hey,
she did.
You know, she should have called somebody. I would have helped her out. I just wanted to put that out there. I would have helped you out. Oh, you know, speaking of Good Morning America, I want to say, just in case you're listening, to a friend of mine, one of the technical directors there, Bobby McQueen, he posted something where he, in Kerry Washington, she came in the back and talked to them. Just want to say, you know what, good looking, Bobby. I'll leave it at that. But he said that he would support her for president. I don't know. She said no, that she didn't want to do it. By the way, if you ever see that clip on YouTube. But yeah. That was, he, friend of mine from college. All right, now.
Before you go on, I just wanted to go back to the Miss, what is it, Miss USA?
Miss USA, yes.
Right. So with the feminist versus equalist statement and the comments about healthcare being a privilege, not a right, I I don't remember which of the pageants is owned by the number 45, but
he used to own that one. He doesn't own it anymore. He used to own Miss USA.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe she was under the impression that he still did, and she was saying statements that would be palatable for him. But what I do want to say is that it appears to me that many of the judges or the powers that be behind that pageant are male. And so for her to answer a question like that from a feminist perspective would be maybe a political dagger in her future as the Miss USA or whatever. And I'm not supporting it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm just offering from my perspective what may have been going on with her, because she turned around now and came out on a morning show that is probably watched more often by women to say something different, you know? So I really think that too far, we're so far gone right now in this country with these alternative facts, or feeling like it's absolutely okay to lie just to get wherever it is that you want to go. I don't know, but that's just what came to me when you said that.
Yeah, I still feel like she was, she may have been a little nervous in just speaking. It didn't seem, again, I know she's a graduate of South Carolina State University, chemistry grad, smart person, but at the same time, I think that sometimes we get a little bit of distance between our folks and we think, I got mine, so get yours. That is wrong. And speaking of that, you know, feminist icon Gloria Steinem blasted this week Ivanka Trump for not standing up for women. Speaking of that, she compared the self-proclaimed feminist maternity care, program to a Nazi policy. I don't know why Ivanka would do that, but Gloria Steinem, 83, disputes in a new interview that the 35-year-old Ivanka is a feminist, as she claims that Ivanka doesn't stand up for women. You know, so she wants to profit off of feminism, but she don't stand up for women, is what the moral of that story is. She has a maternity care program. I guess that's what she's going to be her platform. I don't know why she gets to have a platform. Malia and Sasha didn't have a platform. She's not getting one. I don't want to hear it. But I forgot, they had a black parent, so their parents was like, the first lady was like, they don't know what they want. I don't know why they made a list of role models. Like, that is your mama. You know how your mother would just cut you down? The first lady did to them. So anyway,
she has to have a platform. It was assigned to her by her father's Kerry Washington to make him look better. Okay,
because she spoke English.
That is appealing to somebody, so I can look back, because Melania won't even come down there. So,
hey, you know, now Melania has announced that she will be traveling with him next week when she's going to all of these foreign countries, and she's going to speak to women in military families. That's going to be nice. Good luck. All right. Now, I don't know why I think that that's funny, but it is. Now, according to a new study, our personalities do not change when we have a drink or two. They just become more exaggerated. So onlookers who were watching drunk people like suggest that there's a little difference between a sober and a drunk personality, even though we might feel dramatically different. So a study was done. I don't know who's paying for all of these studies, but they said after drinking participants reported feeling more open, agreeable, and extroverted, but observers noted little change, suggesting that being a different person when you're drunk is all in your head. I think we knew that a long time ago. You didn't really have to do a study about that. When people
drunk
say, oh, I'm drunk. They definitely do. They definitely keep that in the closet, pretty much.
They're like, I ain't. Tell them, so they are saying what they really think when they drunk.
They're like, hey, look, I don't remember. That's what drunk men say. I don't remember.
Did I say that?
I don't remember that. Wasn't me. I think Chaggy had that song, didn't he? Now, on Saturday, you know, we haven't done Black on Black Crime, but I do have
another
question.
Every week we talk about it. Every week.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to start doing Black on Black Crime. I'm about to start playing the music right now. So on Saturday, doing a pre-Mother's Day comedy special at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, you know, comedian Monique called out Lee Daniels as well as Tyler Perry and Oprah. She said, no, I was not blackballed, is what she joked doing. She said, I was whiteballed from some black people. I'm not going to say the word that she used. Who had no balls, is what she said. Now, she said, thank you, Mr. Lee Daniels. Thank you, Mr. Tyler Perry. Thank you, Miss Oprah Winfrey. No, baby, I wasn't blackballed. I was effed up by some N-words who had no balls, is what she said. Now, she came out to clarify that, to say she's not clarifying it. That's how she feels. Let it go, people. And I think a lot of people are supporting Monique now. Like, because back before, people were protective of Lee Daniels, and I have no clue why. And they were protective of Tyler Perry. I had no clue why. Until we did Black on Black Crime, and then Kai jumped on me for that one. And why people are so protective of Oprah. But if they wronged her, what you gonna do? All right, Kathleen, I'll let you talk me off the ledge on this one. I know. You're gonna tell me that we shouldn't be talking about our folks like that. But hey, that's how she felt. She worked with them, not me. Go ahead.
No, I was not gonna say that.
Okay.
I wasn't gonna say that at all. I don't know that this would be endearing for her. I'm not trying to say that they didn't black or white, whatever. I'm not gonna say that they didn't do it. I'm just thinking that, you know, if she's been blacklisted, then it was, I don't know that this would be the best method of
Boy, you're being nice. Didn't we just say you have to do something different? Do something different. That's what she's doing. When somebody blacklists you or blackballs you out of something, do something different. And she's saying she's taking the path of Richard Pryor and just saying she's a comedian. So those guys get to work if they're not doing movies. So she gets to do stand up. That's why you don't mess with stand ups. Mental note. And I just want to say, give a shout out to my cousin Cedric in Houston. But I remember going to this comedy club, and we were there, and I never sit in front of comedy clubs, by the way. And some drunk woman, starts heckling the comedian Rondell Sheridan. I guess this is his last name. And he ate her up. So technically, if you're gonna mess with Monique, you just have to remember she has a mic probably every weekend throughout the year, especially during the summers, two shows a night on Saturday. that she can probably blast somebody. So she's using her the vehicle. Again, Keith Olbermann got blackballed, and I'll check him out on YouTube, on GQ's channel. Just wanted to say that for the record. He needs to be back on TV. It happens. All right, you know, the Communications Division of Time, Inc. announced that they were partnering with Twitter to live stream Essence Now. Now, if you don't know, Time Life owns Essence magazine. But they're going to do Essence Now, a weekly talk show covering all things entertainment, fashion, news, and love and relationship for black women. It's the latest collaboration for Time and Twitter. Essence Now will be the first ever show on Twitter targeting black women. I don't even know if that's a happy news story or just a story. All right, speaking of Essence, and again, this Essence is not owned by Time. I don't know if you know. Time Essence split off from the parent Essence when they sold the magazine. So Essence Music Fest is not the Time Life people. So the group Escape is getting back together, and they're celebrating their reunion by having their first full performance together in 15 years at the 2017 Essence Festival. Now, they're saying that we couldn't think of a better way to celebrate the reunion of Escape than in New Orleans with our fans and the world-famous Essence Music Festival, is what the group said in a statement. The Essence Fest is much more than a music festival. It's a celebration of culture, music, and entertainment. We are excited and honored to be included in the incredible lineup of artists and performers, including, you know, legendary Diana Ross. So if you don't know who Escape is, it's the members Candy Burris, Tamika, Tiny Cotto. What's the other one? The two Scott sisters, Tamika Scott and Latasha Scott, I think is her last name. But anyway, they made up the group, and they announced that they're hitting the road. They're back together. They got the group. That, I don't know. I can go a long way with this, but go ahead. What are you going to say?
Yeah. No, I just think SWV is getting back together, too.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's good that all of those groups go back out and make some money. They're not old. It's the one thing that kind of disturbs me with us as a community is that, especially when you talk about rap or hip-hop, hip-hop's not that old. So it's aging with us. And so when somebody says that they're retiring, I said this early on in the 80s with rap, is that the funny thing is, you ain't up there singing and dancing. You're not burning a lot of energy. Frank Sinatra performed till he was, what, dang near 80? If you get Snoop's going to do Vegas when he's about 89 and he has that slow draw where he's so much drama in the LBC, like he don't even have to rap fast. Snoop and Ice Cube is going to be in Vegas in their late 70s. Just wanted to say that.
And I'll be in New Orleans.
Exactly. It's not like we're not going to be there, you know, going singing all the songs along with them. I'm just saying, hip-hop is aging with us. So it's not that it's a young man's game. It just is not old enough to have old folks in rap because it wasn't around. You know what I mean? It started with a certain age group. So anyway,
well,
everybody's healthy enough.
I just wanted to share this, that I have a couple of people working for me, mm-hmm. and it gets very painful when I try to talk to them about certain things. So today I was asking one of them, well, you know Sparkle, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, the movie with Jordan Sparks. I'm like, no, the original The original? Really? Oh, yeah, I saw that. And I was like, no, not Jordan. No.
Yes.
Irene Cara. Who is that? And I'm like, and then we start talking about Philip Michael Thomas. And then she's like, who? And I'm like, oh, get out of my office. Just get out.
You know what that reminds me of? When the guy good riddance to this guy. I know we don't really speak ill of people who pass away, but the guy, Ailes from Fox, who passed away, they were like, he was on the, you know, Mike Douglas show. And they're like, okay, for reference for anybody who is not over 50, that might not help you place him. Like, it's like,
no,
Mike
not
Douglas.
At all.
Okay, I didn't think that was going to help, but it was actually hilarious that was their reference. It's like he started off at the Mike Douglas show. Like, yay, the heck is Mike Douglas? No, I actually know who Mike Douglas is. I was just saying that's not helping the under, you know.
No.
Under 60
no.
crowd, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, you know, in the latest of a series of announcements, the nation's oldest black-owned magazine publisher, Johnson's Publication, they announced that their CEO, Desiree Rogers, was exiting effective June 2nd. You know, she was the social secretary for the Obama administration. And she was the social secretary, remember? Desiree Rogers.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a cool job, social secretary. Anyway, she following a month of announcements on the corporate restructuring, Linda Johnson Rice, who is the daughter of the publisher, Robert Johnson, she's back at the helm, and, you know, of Jet, I guess it's Jet, Ebony, you know, they said the three best-known brands in Black America, so two has to be Jet and Ebony. The other one probably is Essence, but Time owns them now. But I guess they wanted to go back in a different
not
direction.
Black
and
Enterprise?
People thought, yeah, Black Enterprise has to be there. But I guess I'm trying to think of what their own they're classifying themselves as three of the best brands, but I thought it was three that they owned. And the only ones I can remember is Jet and Ebony. I mean, Ebony Man didn't really make it. Well, I'm just saying I remember that magazine, but anyway, Linda Johnson Rice is back in control. We'll see how Ebony goes. Maybe they'll start printing them again, because I haven't seen the Ebony in who knows how long. Essence don't really do anything either. I just kind of pretty much see them, you know, Kevin Hart is on the magazine for next month, but that's the only thing I really noticed when they put out an article about who's on the cover. You think Time Life
mm-hmm.
would have did something, but anyway. All right, now, a white teen has been arrested, and I don't know where Shodok, New York is, but he was arrested for allegedly vandalizing a black family of six. He wrote racist graffiti and torched their garage. So the youth who have not been named was arrested on Tuesday for the attack, which was on Sunday night, potentially threatened the lives of the homeowners, and I'm not going to say their names if they're not going to say his. But while police considered the attack to be racially motivated, they say that they cannot charge the boy with a hate crime because he's too young. The suspect was 15. But
mm-hmm.
I know, right? White explaining. They said he's been charged with 10 felonies, arson, burglary, criminal mischief, and 7 counts of reckless endangerment. I didn't know there was an age limit on hate. Is that right? Kathleen, can you look up that statute? No.
I will.
I don't know. What,
I'll look it up. I want them to tell that to the 14-year-old boy in Texas who's facing life for having sex with his girlfriend. Consensual.
Oh, right. Oh, I'm sorry. It's because he's white that they can't impose it. Now, if you're black, you can be 10 and you can get, yeah. They'll charge you like an adult. That's just, again, I don't want to go through the whole white splaining thing again, but that's all that is. I don't really want to do the story. Okay, but I'm going to knock the story off really quickly. A 10-year-old girl who is 5 months pregnant after being reportedly raped by her stepfather has won the right to take the morning after pill in India. So a panel of doctors who were tasked with deciding whether a girl would be allowed to terminate her pregnancy after she was forced to take it to court, because Indian law does not allow terminations at a certain point unless doctors certify that the pregnant woman's life is in danger, but medical experts passed the motion. The girl is 10. There you have it. Just wanted to get past that story. Now, there's a doctor, brain surgeon. He and two nurses, I'm going to say his name, it's James Kohut and Emily Stevens and Rochelle Brandon, have been charged in California in connection with a child sex ring involving 7 victims under the age of 13. Now, the doctor and the two nurses were charged with, I guess they're charged with sex crimes against children, but he was having an affair with both nurses, and the children were abused during some of those encounters, is what they said. And his wife found it. His wife found the tape, and she sent it to the police, and good for her. That's
good
all I have
her.
To say about that. Yeah, good for her. I'm not gonna even let you comment on my bad stories today, but anyway. All right, now, Leanne Vick, who's 26, Girl Scout troop leader at the Wilderness Road chapter in Kentucky. She's been arrested for stealing $26,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies. She can face up to 10 years, but $26,000 of Girl Scout cookies. Now, I haven't had Thin Mints in a while, but that is a heck of an addiction. And I don't know, what's the black market rate for Girl Scout cookies these days? I know they're expensive. I haven't
free.
Paid for them since they were like, how much? They're free?
Free.
Free? Oh, they would be free from her.
$26,000 On the black market.
Yeah, that's
the
black market.
That's the black market. Did she get to take the cookies with her?
Yeah, because she can face up to 10 years, and I don't know if $26,000 worth of cookies can be frozen that long. But, I'm sorry, I guess we shouldn't be laughing at her. Yeah, maybe we should.
Huh.
All right, you know.
She might need those cookies in prison.
And she may need them. Oh, you know where she can't go? Selena and Barnes. Injury attorney. How, yeah, I think we're the only one who get that joke in New York, right? I think they're only in New York. Dial 800-888-888. Yeah. All right. So apparently, you know, again, there's some new news on them. Last week we talked about them being they are splitting up and they're in court fighting, but they were saying because of shouting matches, office hookups, nepotism, and bad karma, that they are throwing major blows in court this week because they have a lot of bad blood in the office. Dang, that is a – yeah. I mean, those commercials, man, they stick in your head. If I got injured, I'd call 888-888. I feel like, let me call Kathleen. What's her number? Nope. Salido and Barnes. I don't even have to think about their number, Kathleen. I would call you, but your number is not catchy.
I
need 888-888. Yeah, you got to get that one. All right. Maybe that's going to go up for auction. We'll see how that goes. That's probably what they're going to fight over. All right.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, they're going to fight over that. Now, a federal judge said that he will likely approve a $142 million Wells Fargo settlement despite objections that the deal lets the bank off easy for opening millions of unauthorized accounts. Again, it's weird to me that you can make, I don't know, $3 billion and pay $142 million in a fine. That still amazes me. I don't know what this is all about. All right, the Federal Communications Commission said today, they didn't say today, but they voted 2-1 to repeal net neutrality rules intended to keep broadband providers like AT&T and Comcast from interfering with internet traffic. Now, remember, they went through this because they were lowering internet traffic so the Obama era rules said that they couldn't do that. They can't sell you a speed and say, hey, since you're not using it so much, we're going to lower your speed down. The FCC just changed the rules, said that they can. They're just mean-spirited.
I don't know
what is up with people. Yes. It's like the education department. They changed the rules on student loans so that now the debt collectors who, again, the DeVos lady and her family actually are investors in some student loan debt collectors. They changed the rules so that they can charge you more money and more interest based upon when your scheduled payments are, and if you miss a payment, that they can up your rates. They changed the rule to make that happen. Remember when Trump said, give me a chance, what do you have to lose? This is what you have to lose. That's what's going on in your world. All right, now young Republicans are in the news story. Young Republicans are more likely than older party members to switch party and switch their political affiliation, and they're more likely to do so than Democrats, according to a new Pew Research report. Now get this. You want to hang out with the cool kids and still hate on the cool kids? We don't want you. I always had a problem with that. Republicans always want to change party when they find out that they're too crazy, but then they make the Democrats too conservative. So just like the MSNBC example, right? Conservative people own ABC and NBC. So the so-called liberal stations are more conservative because the owners of those stations are conservative. So they fire all the liberal people. You know, it's why we got what's that?
They get them the most ratings. They get rid of them.
Right. It's funny that I think they feel like if you get the ratings, it's kind of how they do black shows, right? Where the Living Single, it was really high rated, and then they used the first couple of scripts of Living Single for Friends. So they made a white version of Living Single, put them up against them, and then canceled Living Single, who had good ratings when they canceled them.
Yeah.
See, again, this is old. We have to do something different. That was the more of the story. That's how we started off the show. But who was it that they put on Dancing with the Stars after he got arrested during the Olympics? What's his name? Ryan Lochte? I can't remember the guy's name. But anyway, see, and Paula Deen went on there after she used the N-word. Like, ABC is like, hey, let's just put them on Dance with the Stars and normalize them. But will you see OJ on Dancing with the Stars? No. Will you see Michael Vick? No. They won't normalize them because it's better for them that you hate them all day long. All right. Now, okay, in really stupid news, a New Jersey student dies after playing the deadly online pass-out challenge where kids choke themselves unconscious and end up dying. This is the third. What'd you say?
This isn't the caffeine overdose, young man, is it?
No. No, these are people who are choking themselves because, you know, if you choke yourself, you're going to pass out before you die kind of thing. Apparently, this is not working out for everyone. So they had three kids this year choke themselves, and then they killed themselves.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So yeah, one was an eighth grader, and one was an 11th grader. Again, if you don't have anything to do, your teacher is not giving you enough homework.
Yeah.
On that note.
Yeah.
I thought I'd throw the music on that one. You need some more homework if you find yourself choking yourself till you pass out. Because it just seems kind of silly. Uh-oh. I don't know why I did that. Anyway. All right. On that note, Kathleen, you know what I didn't ask? Is there something in particular that you wanted to talk about? Because, you know I missed a lot of news.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the guy Mueller a little bit, but we can talk about it next week. I'm sure there'll be more breaking news.
Okay, give us a little bit of that because I didn't talk about him. But the special, he's not the special prosecutor. What is he called? The special counsel. But he has prosecutor authority. So he is the special prosecutor brought in by the acting attorney general, who apparently took a shot at Trump for putting his name out there as the person that recommended the firing of the FBI director.
Right.
But, yeah.
I found it really interesting, you know, when they were asking the questions. Well, you know, everybody's happy with him on both sides of the aisle, but is this somebody that the president can fire? And I was a little annoyed at the answer because I can't remember who it was that gave the answer, but he gave so much detail and basically broke down just how he could be
fired
by the president. Yeah.
Well,
so,
I think the way it's set up, though, he can't fire him directly.
No,
the president can't. No, well, from the way it was explained before from someone else from the FBI formerly, what happens when you assign a special prosecutor, and these are rules that were put in by Janet Reno and the deputy person at the Justice Department at that time was Eric Holder. They put in these rules for special prosecutor. Yeah. They put the rules in for the special prosecutor or a special counsel. And the way the president can fire the special counsel is he has to make the person who hired them fire him, because he can fire that person. So if he fires the acting attorney general, then he can stop the investigation, because that would inactively fire the special prosecutor, because that's who he works for. But he can't fire him directly.
Okay, maybe I got it wrong. That's not what I heard, so thank you for sharing that. One of the things that I thought they were saying is that those rules that were put in place by Reno and Holder at the time were changed not too long ago. And so that makes it possible that the president can directly fire the new Mueller, and also, of course, the new FBI director that he's trying to appoint, which was Joe Lieberman. And I was like, what the heck is that?
Yeah. Hey, now, if he fires this guy, now, he's already in trouble for firing the first, firing Comey. If he fires this guy, I think everybody's going to turn against him. I think that Congress will do the special prosecutor next time, because Congress can do that. This is part of our checks and balances, that they can actually take it outside of the president's hand and then move articles of impeachment on him. So he has to be careful, because once it looks like you're just arbitrarily firing people to disrupt that investigation, now you got a problem. So he did that to the first FBI director. If he does that to the special prosecutor, unless he does it really early, then it's going to look like he found something, because they know they already have something.
Exactly what they said wrong, that if he's going
to
do it, he got to do it now. And
he
they also said the other thing that you just said was they related it to his ratings and said, okay, well, if he has less than a 30% approval rating, he probably shouldn't do it. But if he has a 40% or higher, his base will stand with him, and he may just take that chance. So I don't know. But the only other thing that I wanted to ask you about was what the heck is really up with this current administration being fully aware of the fact that Flynn was under federal investigation for his dealings with Turkey before they hired him. Tell me what was up with that.
Hey, that's Nixon. Like, those fools are going to go to jail for that one. Because now they're trying to cover that up that they didn't know. And apparently, you know, under the Nixon administration, the White House counsel went to jail. And the attorney general went to jail. So what's going to happen is that those guys who are covering, the White House counsel released a statement saying something like, they didn't know. But you have to remember, Sally Yates let them know in January. Elijah Cummings sent the letter to the transition team in November, where Pence said, oh, he didn't see it. And so these guys are lying, and when that comes out in this investigation, they're going to have nowhere to go. He said he didn't see it. Sally Yates went to them three times and went directly to White House counsel and told them. And then what did Spicer say? Oh, yeah, she told us, she was giving us a heads up. So he lied. So they tried to keep downplaying it, but they have too much documented. And President Obama told Trump directly.
Right.
And said, oh, we thought that he just didn't like Flynn. I don't like that guy, but there's documented proof that he's hanging out with your adversaries. Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going
to trying to find out, you know, what, I don't know. I'm confused, but, I mean, not like I'm confused. I just don't understand how they get away with this. That's really my only confusion.
Usually in government, they usually cover the stuff up pretty good, but this time, the problem with him is that he's telling on himself. So once he told on himself the first time by saying they had a cover story for Comey being fired. We were going to do that a long time ago for the stuff that he did in the past. And then Trump said, nope, I was going to fire him anyway, which he admitted that we should wrap up this investigation since he's gone. Once he admitted that he did that, all bets are off. Now, this goes with the proof that he already has, and it goes with him telling on himself. That's why everyone's saying these are all self-inflicted. Yeah, he told on himself. He said,
which
yeah, I was going to
so
fire
crazy.
Him anyway.
Yeah. And they're like, wait, what? Yeah, I already decided to fire him.
It's
like, my God.
Say what now, so now everybody else lied because, you know, even the Newt's national security advisor, all of them lied by covering for him, and he came out and blew him out of the water.
Yeah.
You know, and so now, right, but now you're seeing his son was in Saudi Arabia in Dubai this week, knowing that his father's going there next week, and they said the Trump companies will not do any new business in any new countries while he was president. And he was there this week, and they have pictures of him in Dubai.
Doing business for his personal business?
Yeah, doing business that the president is going to profit from in Dubai before he actually goes there to meet with the government.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's the arrogance of white privilege is all that is. And you think, no, that was totally different. That they have pictures of those guys, so we'll see how that's going to work itself out.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. See, that's why I had to wait till the end of the show to talk about that, because I knew that would pretty much, if we started on this, we would take up the whole show on this, because that is just way too much to process. And New York Times, The Washington Post, all of those guys are making, like, you know, it's good to know that we actually have good investigative reporters still, because they were losing their way with President Obama. He had no scandal.
Yeah.
So newspapers were firing people left and right. They ain't had no good stories to tell. They had no drama. These guys, all of them working. Everybody's breaking
in. Yeah, but they are all buddies.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, so, you know, next time I'll put some information on this on the show for next time, and we'll talk about it. And remember, if you want to join in on the show, you know, you can always hit one on the line. I want to thank everybody for coming out. We're about to have a lot of lightning now, so I guess the show will be ending. We're about to wrap it up. And we will see you again next week, and we're going to talk about this Trump thing. Okay. All right, Nick. Okay.
All right,
see you next week.
You too. Have a good night.
Yep.